And so would you write a number three? Love never compares. Love refuses to rationalize. Instead, it just acts. It goes for it. It pulls the trigger. Don't compare. Because if you compare, you'll never act. And love is action. Always will be action.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Yesterday, Pastor Wayne began a message entitled, Do You Love Me?, where he took us through the story of Jesus on the seashore following his resurrection, and how he asked Peter, Do you love me? Through the life of Peter, we can learn what it really means to love Jesus. Well, today, Pastor Wayne will show us what we should refuse to do and what we should start to do when we love. In a moment, the conclusion of the message, Do You Love Me? But first, we invite you to join us for a few minutes of worship from New Hope. Here now is the conclusion of the message, Do You Love Me?
You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to put together like 250 ways how everyone can get involved, and it'll be easy as possible, and it'll change Hawaii. And everyone sign up for one. Let me give you an example. This is real simple. I'd love to start, and we are, a Barnabas group. Now, Barnabas, you know who Barnabas was in the New Testament? He was called a son of encouragement. So he was, have you ever met someone that's just like a super encourager? Well, Barnabas was the quintessential encourager. And I was thinking, let's put together a Barnabas group where the only pledge that you have to make if you're involved in this Barnabas group is that you will pledge to encourage 5 people a day and just nudge them with an eternal sparkle. Doesn't have, you don't preach to them, just an eternal sparkle. 5 people a day, that's all. For example, just yesterday, a lady in our church, Virginia, introduced me to a lady named Mary Ann, I think was her name, and she said that she's caregiving for her husband. And I said, oh, really? What's happening with your husband? She said, oh, he has lymphoma. And I could have said, oh, my condolences. Oh, I'm so sorry. I thought, no. I said, can I pray for Arthur? She said, yes. You understand? Just a little bit of eternity. Just eternity. Yes, that would be so good. And take 5 people and just encourage them, whether it be through a text or an email, a letter, a phone call, or just orally where you speak to them. But 5 people a day before you go to sleep. Now watch this. Watch how this will change Hawaii. All right, 5 people. Now, let's say 100 people in our church sign up for the Barnabas group. All right? five people a day, just five people. If 100, five, that's 500 people a day that'll get an inspired word, a word of encouragement with an eternal sparkle to it. 500 a day. Everybody got that? All right, 5 days a week. Even if I gave you weekends off, 5 days a week, that's 2,500 a week words with an eternal sparkle going out. Times 4 weeks a month, that's 10,000 words of encouragement going out from this church. Now check this out. 1 year, multiply it by 12. That's 120,000 words of encouragement going into this church that nudge people to Christ. You think it'll change this church? You better believe it. You think it'll change Hawaii? You better believe it. You understand? Everybody has something to give. Don't ever think because it's too small, it won't do any good. Oh, no. A few weeks ago, a lady came and said, you know, I'd like to sing, but I don't sing very good. I said, join the choir. All you got to do is smile. And she laughed like you did. I said, no, I'm just joking. But join the choir. She said, well, I can't. I'm not a soloist. I said, no, here's the cool thing about the choir is when you sing together, the blend becomes one voice and it's beautiful. Mark my words. So she said, all right. She joined the choir. And I don't know if you remember on Easter when that choir sang, it was like I felt a physical energy. It's like, wow, it was beautiful. And I thought, everybody has a gift to give. Never think you're not good enough or you're not smart enough or you're not good looking enough. And oh, we just got to keep doing that. Just say, you can do it. You can do it. When people come off the platform, you see four or five of us back there saying, that was so cool. Corey, the lady that did that monologue, we're just giving her hugs, saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. We just got to keep encouraging people. And they'll say, you know, I'm not that good. I should be doing it better. No, but you're doing great. Isn't that right? We just have to encourage each other. Because inside of you is a gift that I bet if it were encouraged enough, it could change so much. We just need to stay together. And instead of downing each other and playing dominance games, we should be just encouraging one another. Because you can pray, you can encourage, you can usher. It doesn't have to be big, but we all got to do it. On Good Friday, we had the children of the incarcerated parents dance They're just fabulous. And a lot of these have grown up from Camp Agape, where each summer we bring the children of incarcerated parents together. We sponsor them with business people, bring them to a camp. And this is the first year where some of them have grown up and now they're seniors. And two of them have decided to go to New Hope Christian College and study for the ministry and come back and reach their peers. It's the first. And statistically, if you study this, those that have incarcerated parents, often the tendency is for them to follow the same route. But this is almost like the first two that breaks that cycle and changes it for good. It's happening right here. And that'll just be the first, because just think of the others that'll come and say, we want to do the same. We want to do the same. And when they come back, there may be gifts as big as Hawaii inside of them that can change our future. You understand? And so we invest in these. Now you say, well, how can we be involved in that? We just don't really even know them. Now, what I'm about to say to you is not a ploy. It's not a manipulative thing. But I want us to read John 3:16. You know it by heart. But read it with me. Would you go? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible says, we're talking about love. God so loved the world that he what? Gabe, can you write this down. Giving allows everybody to be involved in ministry. Giving allows everyone to be involved in ministry. Because what we gave, we took an offering that night, friends, and we got $19,800 to help these students go to college as scholarships from this church. Isn't that great? Now, the cost will be, and the cost is very low, because once we get a Pell Grant for each of these young men, it's $15,000 for, that's room and board, you know, food, dormitories, tuition, everything. And so, and it's $20,000 is actually the tuition. So we're about $10,000 short, but still yet, it's investing in this. When everybody gives, every single one of us give, these things can happen. We can change the history of Hawaii. Just as a small encourager or someone giving just a little bit. Now, let me just tell you about a myth that you need to destroy, and that is this. Well, let's let the affluent people give because I can only give a little bit, so I shouldn't give at all. No. No, because see, the Bible says this, he who is faithful in little shall be faithful in, but if you're unrighteous in little, why should he give you much? Because you're going to be unrighteous in that as well. So if I say, well, I can only give a 20, but somebody should give 2,000. So I don't give. So I can only give a dollar, but someone else will give 100. So I won't even give at all. No, then why should God give you any more? Because what he does give you, you're not faithful with it. I want to encourage you that when we come and it comes time to offering, let's everyone give, because that's what happens. These things, that's where the funds go to. And the marriages that are being counseled. One lady said, I came to this church because I watched it on television. That softens people's hearts. Did you know that the television stations, I think I told you this before, said over 51,000 households tune into our program every week. 51,000 in Hawaii. Well, they're softening hearts, you understand? So as we give, that stuff happens, and one day, you may not know till heaven where someone will turn and say to you, because of this congregation, I'm here today, thank you for giving. But if we say, well, I'll just wait for someone else who has a bigger gift to give, so I won't give anything at all. No, don't do that. It takes every single one of us, and we encourage each other. So when we give, everybody, let's do it together. Because it allows all of us to be involved. Let's read what John 21:17 says. Go. And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And he said to him, then tend my sheep. Every single one of us can be involved in tending sheep because you just don't know what's inside of somebody. And so would you write in number three, love never compares. Love refuses to rationalize. Instead, it just acts. It goes for it. It pulls the trigger. Don't compare, because if you compare, you'll never act. And love is action. Always will be action. Love is action. About four verses later, Jesus turns to Peter and said, Peter, let me tell you something. When you get old, people are going to carry you from place to place. So you better start infusing eternity now into your career and your life, because it won't be long. Well, eternity, he saw a younger man, John Mark, and he said, well, if that's going to be my future, what about him? And let's slip into this conversation and see what Jesus says. Would you read it? Go. So Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, what about that man? Jesus said to him, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. That's right. What God is saying is don't compare, because if you do, you won't ever act. And love is action. And that's why I'll read this last one here. And he says here, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and make myself known or reveal myself to him. I want Jesus to reveal himself through us. So it takes action. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And so all of us, can I encourage you to infuse this week eternity into your life? You say, well, how do I do that? Well, when you do your daily devotions, you're inserting eternity into your day, aren't you? When you pray, when you give a word of encouragement or do a good deed in the name of Christ, or overlook an offense that you could have taken offense to, and you just say, no, for the sake of Christ, it's not going to be a hill I want to die on. Let's just leave it. Could you fight on that hill? Sure. Could you win? Sure. But for the sake of Christ, it's not going to do him any good. It ain't going to do me any good. Because it's not about domination of one another. For the sake of Christ, leave. You understand? Then you've inserted eternity into your day. Refuse to gossip. Help serve. Pick up a piece of paper outside. Why? Because what's in it for me? They're not paying me to do this. No. I'm doing this for Jesus. All of a sudden, you're starting to reinsert eternity into your life. Because if that gets split up, then you miss life altogether. And that's why Jesus said, Peter, come on back. Let's put them back together. And that's called the body of Christ. And when we're all in this together, when everyone encourages, when everyone gives, when we do it together, you watch, you wait, you'll see what God can do. I want to finish with a very short video of someone in our congregation. His name is Frank. He was homeless for 11 years, just got saved. Listen to what his story is. It's wonderful.
I was homeless for about 11 years. I lived
11 years?
Yes. It was hard for me because of the stress I was going through without my arm, trying to survive out here without getting into any trouble. To survive out here, you have to go out and recycle stuff. I wasn't under welfare. I wasn't under SSI or anything.
Were there days you went without because you couldn't
yes.
get money?
Yes, there was days where I could not go out at all because either I was so tired or my bike would be in parts or I need parts for the bike. It was hard living under there.
Where did you live?
I lived right under the Nimitz Bridge, and there's quite a bit of them, but I was on the Malka side, and I stayed there for a while.
11 years under the bridge.
Yes.
How many people are under there? Is it a community?
Back then, yes, there's a community of about over 120 people.
And then you came to Christ.
Yes.
And I saw you had water baptism and gave you a big hug.
Oh, I thank the Lord so much. Just awesome.
Your life changed so
much.
Yes,
I'm transforming into a better life, a better person.
What do you think God is calling you to do? I mean, you're alive. You're not dead. Your arm was cut off. He saved you. What's inside of you?
Now I think God wants me to do He has me for a higher calling, something to do with ministry.
And God's calling you into the ministry?
Yes.
Is it to homeless people?
I'm trying to reach out to them too at the same time because there's a lot of people, real good people out there.
Well, we look forward to that. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Thank you.
Love you.
Love you. God bless you. Thank you very much.
Frank's arm was actually cut off in an accident. They replaced it, but because of the damage of all the muscles, he's not able to use it. He doesn't have things like you or I would have, but he says, I have something to give, and I'm going to give it. And I think, wow, what an inspiring man that is. And he's a part of our congregation, homeless man. And you see, it doesn't matter what strata of life you're from or are, every single one of us can give something. Something. And I want us to do that. And when you do, and we do it together, we can change Hawaii. What do you think? Let's do it together. We're going to do offering just a little different. I'm going to have the ushers come up. And you know what I'm going to have? I want everybody to give something today. Everybody. So take out. Some of you already prepared your tithes and offerings, so you can take that out. But I want everybody. No, don't let the bucket pass. I mean, if you got to steal a dollar from your neighbor, steal a dollar. If you need to borrow one from somebody, borrow one. I've got zero left because I've been doing this for every service. Wait a minute. I got 25 cents here or something. Let's see here what I got left. Yeah, I got something left. Here it is. All right. Everybody take out something. Something. That's what happens when you have five services. You don't have any money left when you're done. I got my vitamins I can give here. Here it is. Okay. All right. Now, I want everybody, really. The reason is because if I say, if I can't give a lot, I won't give anything, then God won't give you anything, because he was faithful in little will be faithful in much. But if I can't be faithful in little, why should he give me any more? And it's going to take every single one of us, every single one of us, to be a part of this. Because when we do it like a choir, it comes back in a huge voice of praise to God, and God increases that. But it's going to include all of us. No spectators this season. We all get out of the grandstands, all on the playing field, and we stand before God and say, God, we're ready to go. We don't know what you have planned, but we're prepared. You understand? And God says, and now we're ready. And we can change the history of Hawaii if we'll do it together. So I want us just to pray over it. Just hold it up just a little bit. Lord Jesus, would you take what we give? And we're not doing this as a manipulative thing, Lord. We're doing this as an object lesson. By encouraging, we can all be in ministry together. We're not going to separate our spiritual life from our careers. Lord, they're one and the same. And so, Lord, please help us this week to begin to infuse eternity into our lives afresh and not separate the two. Help us to be a people of eternity and use what we have for the kingdom's advance to change people's lives forever in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, ushers. By the way, don't forget that after the service, outside, there's some things to take a look at. Also, 3 o'clock today, there is water baptism. So if you've never been baptized in water since coming to know Christ, today's the day. Bring a change of clothes and then a potluck dish, because we're just going to have a potluck. And even if you've been baptized, you want to come out and just kind of have a picnic with us, please come, because there'll be a bunch of us out there at 3 o'clock to about 4:30 or so. So come out a little early, get some parking. And then also, by the way, in your bulletin is a little sheet about the inspiration worship time this Saturday night at Stan Sheriff. That's your parking pass. If you do not have that with you, you're going to pay $6 to get in. But if you show that to the parking attendant and give it to them, then we, the church, will pay your $6. And because you're a part of this ohana, and we want to stay together, do things together, you give that to them, the church will pick up your $6 for you. Isn't that a nice gift for our Worship Together concert this Saturday night? Because see, what we're going to do is we're actually inviting all churches, all people. Well, they're going to pay the $6. You're going to go in free. So that's the Worship Together this Saturday night. Now, next Sunday, we have services, regular services. Just Saturday night, we have the worship time. Okay, everybody got that? All right, let's stand together as we pray, and then we'll conclude in our last and final song. Lord, thank you for a fabulous church. We ask your blessings. We ask your love and your grace. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone says, thank the Lord with a clap offering. Would you? Let's sing.
In Christ alone, I place my trust.
someone a hug on your way out, would you please?
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled, Do You Love Me? By Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
Is Christ alone?